today on Real Radio.
And Jesus is liking the gospel going out to the world as a sower sowing seed, throwing out the seed, which is in the parable, Jesus tells us the word of God, and those who are hearing are like the soils that are around, how your heart is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables. We're in a series within a series on the parable of the sower. It's a look at one of those sad truths that Jesus communicated to his disciples. In fact, it was meant only for his true followers to understand. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his mini-series called The Parable of the Sower.
If you're turning there in your Bibles, Matthew 13, this is, as we said, the chief of parables. Jesus said to the disciples, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the other ones? Because this one's so critical. It's fundamental. And it's literally awesome to think that what Jesus teaches us here, as I look across the sanctuary, it literally affects every one of our lives. It is a truth at work in every one of our lives. Tonight you could say, well, I came here tonight with a friend. They bought me dinner and I came. I don't believe in God. Doesn't matter if you believe in God. What Jesus taught is actually happening in your life. And he makes it clear in this parable that we're about to finish tonight, because you are either understanding the things of God and being drawn closer to God, maybe it's ever so small, maybe it's ever so little, but you are interested in the things of God. That is the work of God in your life. And it will grow from there. Or you may be here tonight saying, I don't want anything to do with God. Listen, the parable teaching of Jesus, or parabolic teaching, by you rejecting, is also proof of his truth. It is amazing how serious and wonderful all this really is. Matthew 13, follow along with me in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. And there he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And you can see the man casting seed in the field from a pouch. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. That's where we'll be predominantly tonight. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9 is the challenge. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so this is a very, very serious push. And remember now, the setting is this. Jesus is on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And when we go there, we'll go right up there. In fact, the mountain that is at that north end has been well identified. And that region of where Jesus taught, the crowds were so huge. Some historians write, Josephus talks about how Jesus spoke in crowds where there were up to 60 to 100,000 people. Now, how do you do that? How do you speak to somebody like the size of the Rose Bowl? Imagine Jesus would have been at the middle of the 50-yard line at the Rose Bowl and speaking to people. And scholars say two things. Number one, they say, as it says, Jesus got into Peter's boat and pushed out from the shore and began to speak to the people. And it is true that the sound waves hitting water, water repels sound waves a lot from the surface. And so it kind of acted like a little amphitheater. And plus, it is true, the slope goes drastically up. So you could have easily had 100,000 people seated. And you could have had this going on, or Jesus being God, just talked like I'm talking right now without a microphone, and everybody could hear. Because he's God. He can do that kind of stuff. He didn't even need the boat. He could have just been floating on his sandals out there and having a great time. And so Jesus is speaking. Wouldn't you love to have been there? I'd love Spielberg to do something like that. I'd love to see that. And so as he spoke this king of all parables. And so in our last time together last week, we looked regarding the parable of the sower. And we looked, number one, at the mission. And that was found in verses 1-3. That Jesus makes it very clear that on the same day as he sat there by the sea that he spoke. And verse 3 says, as we read a moment ago, that behold, a sower went out. He's using that very common, customary thinking. Everybody knew what a sower was, and everybody knew that a sower throws out seed into a field as liberal and as generous as possible, because the sower, the farmer, wants a great crop. And Jesus is liking the gospel going out to the world as a sower sowing seed, throwing out the seed, which is in the parable, Jesus tells us, the word of God, and those who are hearing are like the soils that are around, how your heart is. And your heart is either allowed by you or by me to take certain directions based upon how we deal with things in life. Some people, isn't it remarkable? Some people have very, very difficult hardships in life, and they are horrifically hard people, bitter, angry people. And then there's some people that have very difficult, hard things in life happen to them, and they're very tender and soft and generous people. How does that happen? It all depends on how the situation, you allow the situation, I should say, to shape your life. This is critical and a very, very powerful thing. The point is that Jesus is telling us that it's God's desire that the word of God go out and land in every heart, and that a decision be made. And we made mention last week that God will never grab you by the arm and force you into his family. He'll never force you into the kingdom of heaven. That would be wrong. That's not real. And so he lays out the invitation. And you tonight, you and I will be always, in fact, I think we always are being tested. Are we willing to receive what God is saying to us? And we always want to pray, God, make my heart tender and soft. And that's very important. And so we saw that the mission was the giving forth of the gospel. And Jesus says, it is that sower who goes out to seed. And I pray for you guys. I've been praying for you guys before this series started, that all of us as Christians would be very serious about being sowers of the word, to take it out there by whatever means. You don't have to hold a crusade. You don't have to be a pastor of a church. All you have to do is be the wife of an unsaved man, or the husband of an unsaved wife, or maybe you've got kids who don't know Jesus, and you love them, and so you want them into the kingdom with you. Amen. You want to have that. And so there's that mission. And then secondly, we saw the placement of verse 4. We saw the placement. The parable of the sower showed us the first illustrative warning was found in verse 4. He says, and some of the seed that was sown fell by the wayside. Remember, that was a hard, compact area that was off the beautiful tilled soil and into that area where people had walked and trampled. The ground is hard. It's very, very hard. And the seed landed, and Jesus said the birds came and devoured up the seed. It never had a chance to grab hold. And we saw in Matthew 13, 18, Jesus said, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, look at verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, and does not understand it. I don't get it. It's not God withholding the truth from them. Note this. Their heart is in a place where they're not willing to receive the seed or the word of God. Jesus said, if they hear the word, but they don't understand it, this is what happens. The wicked one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So two things are going on for this one sorry victim of not accepting Christ. They don't want to. Their heart is hardened. And Satan takes advantage of their rejecting heart. And he comes and takes away the seed. They'll hear a Bible verse or a Bible study. They might, you know, who knows what. The other day, Lisa and I were shopping. Oh, yeah, I had a day off. And what'd I do? I went antique shopping with my wife because that's the kind of guy I am. No, it's... And in the store, there was a plaque, and it said, Proverbs 30, I forget what it was, but it was this verse. And here you are in a store, walking by, antiques are for sale, and there's a Bible verse. Delight your, Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give unto thee the desires of your heart. Amen. Wow, where was that? In an antique store, in the city of Orange. Bible, right there. And you walk by, and I walked by, and I went, that's cool. In fact, I took a picture of it. Instagrammed the thing off, and... But who knows, people walk by. You know what? That should be taken down. That's offensive. Who are these people? That's offensive. The guy kicks a field goal. Somebody holds up a John 3:16 sign between the uprights. That's offensive. Arrest them. Get that guy out of the stadium. How can that be offensive? It's very offensive. If your heart is hard, it's very offensive. You don't want that. Can't handle it. The most tolerant people become so intolerant. How does that happen? Because of the heart. We need to remember that. The placement of the Word of God is all important. And the third thing, and this is where we pick it up tonight, look in your Bible, verses 5 and 6, is the reception of the Word of God. We want to be careful when we hear the Bible that our hearts are serious about it. Now, look, we had a great time of worship and, hands raised, and we're having a great time, and we should have a great time coming together with God and among God's people and be reminded of our great and awesome God. And that's fantastic, and it should be that way. But understand this, that before we ever come here, we need to be saying, Lord, make my heart receptive to what I'm about to partake of, you know? We're not going to a movie. We're not going to a play. We're not going to an Angel game. We're not going to a Dodger game. We are going to church. It is a divine thing. A lot of people today don't want to make it a divine thing, and that's their loss. It is a big deal. The Lord said that wherever two or more of you are gathered together, I'm in the midst of you. And that, if you look at that in the context, it's actually regarding a judicial decision within a church. Look at it carefully, Matthew 18. Why do I say that? Because I believe, according to my Bible, if, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit lives in the life of every true believer, wherever I go, there he is. In fact, he's there before I get there, and he's with me as I'm going. Why? Because he's God, he's everywhere. So when you come to church, for example, be preparing your heart. Lord, we're going, in fact, the Psalms of Ascent, we're going to go up to the mountain of the Lord, David would write, and we're going to sing praises to our God. You need to be thinking about the reception. When you crack open the Bible, or when you go to a Bible study, even when you put in a CD or listen to something online, or you listen to the radio, Lord, prepare my heart. This is very important. Because we are not learning more, for example, about, you know, a program or software or about a new system. We are learning about God himself in the Bible, and that carries with it profound responsibility. Very seriously, the reception. In Matthew 13:5, Jesus said, now some seed fell on stony places, rocky places, where they did not have much earth. Notice they had some earth, but not much. Just a little thin layer of dirt, which is very common. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Listen, the seed germinated, in fact, faster than normal. Number one, the soil is warm. It's on the rock, and the water that hits it keeps the soil, listen, wet. It doesn't go anywhere. So watch, you've got a rock or you've got a rocky area and you've got a thin layer, maybe 2-3 inches of dirt on these rocks, and the seed falls. And all of a sudden, wow, look, the farmer might look and say, man, this is gonna be an amazing crop. Look how fast this is springing up. It's so green, it's so quick. The nutrients are there. It's true, the nutrients are all there. The water's there. The soil is there. The sun is there, and it explodes upward in life, but he comes back around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's all lopped over. It's all wilted. And Jesus said there are those who come to church, or they think about Christian things. They got a Bible. They might read about it. They start reading. They get excited about it. They make an outward decision for Jesus, and they shoot like a skyrocket. We talked about that last week, and they're just super duper Christians. Man, look at that guy. That guy's led 5 people to Christ this week. He's only been a Christian for 2 weeks. And then you see the guy a month later or a year later, and he's completely away from the faith. What happened? There was no depth in his growth. There was no, and we looked at it last time, we don't need to get much into it. There had been no winds to blow, bringing trials, as it were, difficulties. You always want to be around Christians who have gone through the seasons of faith. Believe me. I love being around new believers. They're so excited. It's just wonderful. But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the nursery. You can only handle it for a little bit, then you got to go take a walk. It's cute and fun. But as life happens and as life goes on, listen, I want to encourage you, with difficulty, don't cave in. And I mean, you name it. Just young people growing up. That's tough. I'm so glad I'm not young. In this world right now, this world's too hard. It's insane. Look, when I was a kid, we used to take tin cans and run a string, and I would talk to my neighbor friend about 100 feet away through the can. Hey, man, what are you doing? Nowadays, your kid's talking to some nut in Moscow somewhere on his cell phone. You don't know what's going on. And look at all the stuff that's happening about that kind of stuff. You don't know what's going on. Exposed to so much, man, it's hard enough just being a kid. And then your hormones start going nuts at some age. That's another whole thing. All these things, listen, man, I tell you what, parents, we need to parent our kids like never before. There's dangerous water ahead and icebergs in that water for that teenager, and you got to help them through and love them. Can I say this? It's not in my notes. Maybe it's free. Maybe I'll have to run out of the building for saying this. I don't know. But I think if you ask kids, certainly if you ask our junior high and high schoolers, they don't want you to be their friend. We hear it from kids. My mom's trying to be my friend. I don't want my mom to be my friend. I want my mom to be my mom. I want my dad to try to stop being cool and be my dad. Mom and dad, they need leaders in their life. And they want leaders, by the way. They really do. This is an amazing time. And we need to be very careful, because kids can hear something, get excited, and go for it, and just, maybe it's even the gospel, as in the context of this study, and they get all excited, and maybe it's you tonight. And you are very excited about God, but you haven't had any hardship and difficulty. Listen, for all of us, young and old, whatever hardships and difficulties we've gone through in life, you can either A, determine my life has been the pits, and I'm gonna go through the rest of my life bitter, angry, and upset, and I'm gonna give some people back some of the junk that I've had, and you'll never be happy. Even when you get revenge, you won't be happy. Or you can, listen, see the fact that God takes all these things in life and transforms them into a tremendous base of power if you'll just give all of that hurt and heartbreak to Him. He can take the worst situations, if your heart is willing, and transform those things into great victories. He is absolutely awesome. Jesus put it this way again, as Luke said it in Luke 8:13, not Matthew, but Luke. Same account, Dr. Luke, verse 13, chapter 8. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Listen to this. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. We see most people, will you agree with me? At least most people I've ever known, most people, this applies to the people. If I see 100 people come forward to accept Christ, a year later, there's maybe 30 still following Jesus. Why? Because of that verse right there. Jesus said people give up because of temptation. They cave in. It's hard. And they choose. They never allow themselves to move out into faith. Jesus said they only believe for a while. And I think we've all seen that happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Sower, a look at one of the analogies told by Jesus himself to his disciples. And we'll continue with more of The Parable of the Sower on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack, which is one of my favorite times of the week. On Friday editions of Real Radio, we like to throw a Bible-related question in Pastor Jack's direction. You know, we don't get you in the studio very often.
You want to know why?
Tell me.
Because this is a very terrifying thing. You listeners, you guys need to know something. Davey's laughing because there's no prep for this recording today. I don't know what he's going to ask. I don't know what's coming. Producer Steve and him, they look at the piece of paper and they laugh and chuckle. I think it's Let's Stump Jack Day.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I feel
Let's stump Pastor. You know, that's what we should probably call
it, nice.
Producer Steve. Producer Steve and I pass notes back and forth to each other saying, ask him this one, ask him this one.
And I ask all of you out there, where's the love in that?
You ready for it?
Yes,
here we go.
I hope so.
Pastor Jack, comes from a listener. Could you please let me know what you think of The Message?
Oh, The Message by
it comes
Eugene
in a book
Peterson.
Form. Yeah, Eugene Peter. Thank you in advance for your response, says Dean.
Yeah, I absolutely don't like it.
Tell me why.
I don't like it because, in my opinion, it represents, to the uninformed, for example, who they don't know what the Bible's all about.
Okay.
If they're going to pick it up and read it, they're going to get a skewed view of who God is, the gospel, and the very truth of the word. Let me explain why, for those of you who are having heart attacks right now because you own The Message.
Right.
It's not a Bible. It is a it's a rendering. It is not, it doesn't hold the water, for example, of biblical integrity as the King James, New King James, ESV version, the American Standard or the NIV. Those are Bibles. Mm-hmm. Those are Bibles that are true to the original manuscripts. Eugene Peterson produced this book called The Message, I'm assuming, to get people to cut their teeth on the Bible.
Okay.
I guess maybe I'm just super old school on this. Here's the deal. God has preserved for us His Word. Don't mess with it. Read it. The Holy Spirit will enlighten you. He'll give you understanding of it. You don't need some man's changing words or softening things or easing up on some things or make... You don't need that.
Yeah.
Listen, go and buy a Bible. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to read the Bible, then I would really recommend you reading something like the New King James. It's very easy reading.
That's
all
what
of
I read.
These and thous have been removed.
Yeah.
Or the New International Version, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ESV, the English Standard Version. Do that. I mean, you know, you could even do this, and I'm not a big fan of this one either, but it's okay. The NLT, or the New Living Translation. It's a paraphrased version of the Bible.
I get it, yeah.
The Message is a paraphrased version of the Bible.
Okay.
It's conversational English.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is you lose the study accuracy of the word.
Okay.
So that's my answer. Let
me jump in real quick while we're in the midst of ruffling feathers. What about the person that says to me, yeah, but I was brought to the Lord through this book called The Message?
Well, listen, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Okay.
All I'm going to say right now is now it's time to go out and get a real Bible.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, email it to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.